And Mike, I guess you're on.
Okay, one of these we did this year is we moved the Columbia Basin Development League contribution into the water fund because it's a water-related issue. And Mike Suiso from Columbia Basin Development League is here to speak to council.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Mike Suiso, I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Columbia Basin Development League. I'm the lobbyist. So what I'd like to do tonight is kind of give you a little update about what the league is and what we're up to. Just to let you know, earlier this summer I've made this similar presentation to the county commissions in the four counties and the city councils of Moses Lake, Muncie, and Columbia. And I hoped to be on your schedule earlier this year, but I had some family health problems I had to deal with, and so I wasn't able to do that in the August time. So I apologize for being late. Basically, I've prepared a memorandum trying to respond to some of the questions that Mike and, had for us, you know, that in terms of supporting our request for participation. And I don't take a long time. The meeting's already run long, and I know that you're interested in getting out of here. So I'll kind of skip through it and hit the high points, and then if you have some questions, I'd really be interested in trying to answer those. The Columbia Basin Development League has been around since the mid-60s as a private nonprofit corporation. It was formed for the singular purpose of promoting development of the Columbia Basin Project, to continue that development, to protect the project's water rights, to educate people about the multi-purpose benefits of this massive reclamation project that literally has changed the landscape here in Central Washington. So that's what we're all about. And we do that by connecting with a whole variety of groups that we've built over the recent past couple of years, very strong working relationship with the Bureau of Reclamation, with the Department of Ecology, and with the three Columbia Basin Project Irrigation Districts. And the league is basically the private sector organization that's in a position to be the advocate for the project and for its continued development. You know, this project is really a phenomenal thing. I think it's fair to say had the Columbia Basin Project not been developed, Othello would not be the city it is today. It would be a desert community that would look much like the communities 30 or 40 miles to the east that have 600 people and eke out a very meager economic existence doing dry land wheat production. And the project has literally changed the face of this area. Earlier this year, the three Columbia Basin Project districts, in order to update the information available on the impact of this project and really to support the activities that the league is doing now, commissioned a study that was done by Intrix, which is a national consulting firm that does environmental natural resource economic analysis. And they used a model called IMPLAN to look at the value of agriculture irrigated by the project, what it means to three-county area here that makes up the Columbia Basin Project, as well as to the state of Washington and the national impacts. And what they found was that annually, this project generates $1,440,000,000 worth of crops. That rolls into $5,810,000,000 in economic activity, $2,420,000,000 of income, and that's income to proprietors, property income, wages, and 39,000 jobs. So it's a tremendous economic engine. The Columbia Basin Project is not done. Right around Othello here, the project is built, but if you go 20 miles to the east, you hit the edges of it. The project currently serves 671,000 acres. It's authorized in its original congressional authorization at 1,029,000 acres. So the league's job since its inception was, let's complete this project, let's grow the economy in Central Washington, let's provide this productive base that we can all benefit from. What we're focused on right now, though, is a problem that's looming on the horizon. And I appreciate seeing the staff's recommendation that this project be placed in the water fund, because water is what the league is all about. And future water is what we're trying to focus on now. I think you've probably heard presentations, or at least have received some materials from the Columbia Basin Groundwater Management Area group that has been doing the science on the decline of the aquifer in this region. And their predictions are very dire. They're saying that this aquifer is going to be depleted. And it's not just for the deep well farmers out there that have been pumping it for the last 50 years. It's for anyone who relies on that aquifer as a water supply. The city of Moses Lake, the city of Warren, the city of Connell, the city of Othello, will all be in the same fix if that aquifer is depleted. So what the league has been trying to focus attention on, and we've really gotten back into gear on this since about 2003, there was a moratorium on any project development activities that was self-imposed by Reclamation from 1993 to 2003. They said there's just too much uncertainty around trying to move project activities forward. We have the endangered species listings of salmon on the Columbia River. We just got to put a stop to everything. We're going to sit on it. 2003, the times have changed enough. There's more certainty about what was happening with the salmon situation. There's overwhelming demand for water resources throughout Central Washington. The state of Washington initiated some activities to start the ball rolling again, and the Columbia Basin Development League took the initiative to start to bring a focus on this problem, the decline of the aquifer. We held our first workshops in the fall of 2003, continued to generate activity. At the end of 2004, Reclamation Ecology and the three irrigation districts signed a memorandum of understanding where they agreed to work together, use their best efforts to move issues forward. We took over, did the lobbying in the 2005 legislative session. There was a $16 million capital budget appropriation to fund project activities. And as part of that, in the fall of that year, Governor Gregoire agreed to have the state of Washington be the 50% cost share partner in the Odessa Sudbury Special Study. And this is a Reclamation Ecology project continuation study. We didn't have to go to Congress to get new authorization. This project is authorized at 1,029,000 acres. The focus of this study is to bring project water to those deep well acres, take them off the aquifer to retain what is left for people who don't have the alternatives, and to deliver water to those farms from the Columbia Basin Project. Many people think that the future for municipalities in terms of water supply in this region is that same water source, Columbia River water delivered by the Bureau of Reclamation through their systems. Obviously, it would have to be treated, those types of things. But west-wide, the demand for water is growing. All across the west, we have desert communities. You know, and when you have a 7-inch rainfall area, you're looking to the rivers for water supplies, and it's no different here in the Columbia Basin Project. So we think in the future, if we don't address the aquifer problem, even if we do, that aquifer is in severe decline, and we're going to need the water resources that are offered by the Columbia Basin Project. We've been very successful in moving projects forward to date. The league has led the congressional lobbying activity to get the Odessa study funded. It's a 5-year study. That was projected to cost about $12 million. We're just into the fifth year of the study, a really major milestone on this process. October 26th, when Reclamation released their draft environmental impact statement, we're in a 60-day comment period now, and next year they'll wrap it all up, and we will have preferred alternatives at that point in time that will be carried forward. The most optimistic approach is that we'll be approaching Congress in 2012 with the initial construction phases to implement the alternatives here. And we're talking about projects that are looking to bring project water to 100,000 acres of lands out here that are currently empty wells, get them off the wells. Various different alternatives are being proposed in the EIS here, ranging in cost from about $800 million to about $3.3 billion. So this isn't something we take lightly. It's going to take really a unified effort across the region. And to date, because we're in the study phases, we've been able to get the job done. We've been successful in getting the federal appropriations into the budget with the help of Senators Murray and Campbell and Representatives Hastings and McMorris Rogers, who had bipartisan support. We've also been successful in getting securing funding for several project improvement projects that are going to help the current project operate more efficiently and to improve the reliability of water supply. We're implementing a new way to feed Pockels Reservoir, the Pockels Supplemental Feed Route. It's a $23 million project. The state has already put in $10.7 million, and we've gotten $7.6 million in federal funds so far, so we're just ready to complete that project. All the hard construction's done. And we also qualified a project, the Weber Cooley siphon, for construction in the stimulus package, and they are building a second siphon tube across Weber Cooley, and that's the big draw on Interstate 90. It's about 12 miles east of Moses Lake, and it's where East Slope Canal crosses under the freeway there. And what we're looking to do is double the capacity. That's the current bottleneck in East Slope Canal, and what that means is that people below that point now won't be looking at project interruptions. You know, a lot of the food processors and others who are on water service contracts have their water supply curtailed when project demand is high. So those are the projects we're up to. We've had a good track record of success. We're focused on water resources for the future for the Columbia Basin, and we're in a position to be the coordinator, be the advocate for this, and to involve all the parties, all the local governments in helping to support that effort. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No questions?
I just want to make one comment. I think they've come a long way to when they first started with this, as far as trying to get Euro back on the page here and get this thing going again. And I think it's very critical that we continue with that surface water and get rid of this deep well pumping, and it'll help our municipalities a great deal.
That's the thing.
Be done.
One of the interesting things in we've had a couple trips to Washington, D.C. to work in these funds, and it includes, we came back with a group to kind of demonstrate the bipartisan support we got there, and we include Derek Sanderson, who's the Ecology's Office of Columbia River Director, and then Chris Voigt, who's the Executive Director of the Potato Commission. And the potato industry has an interesting story to tell. Potatoes that are grown out in that deep well area come from heavier soils, and they're not exactly sure why it is, but the potatoes that are sourced from that area are the ones that store the longest. And so all the processing plants source a certain amount of their potato supply from out in that area. And what that allows them to do is process 24/7, 365. And you know the economics of potato processing is extremely tight. Those are expensive plants that need to run as much as they can. And if we lose that source of supply, it's going to be a big hit in the region's economy. The Potato Commission had them have a look at the economic impact of the loss of, there's about 39,000 acres a year out in that area produced, or in potato production, so you know it's rotated every 3 years. The annual impact of the loss of that 39,000 acres was $630 million a year, 3,600 jobs. And so it's we are excited about what we're doing, and appreciate everyone's support. I'll leave a copy of this EIS for folks. We would sure appreciate if City of Bell had a look at this, and even if you just wrote a letter that says, yeah, keep on keeping on, that would be good. We'd really appreciate that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Okay, we have $6,600 in the red column. What's the council want to do?
I think we ought to keep it there. Move it over.
Move it over? Yeah, we should stay members, I would think.
I think so, too.
It's a big, big deal going on here. Okay, Mike, put it over there.
Okay, so we'll go down into the water operations. It's pretty close. The budget is different by only about $3,000, not too much of a change. We have debt service, it's gone down a little, which is typical. Now we get into the capital portion. We have been scheduling this well. I think we're in the second year of scheduling it. And so next year, we know it isn't gonna happen this year, so we're scheduling it again for next year. I can't speak for a lot of these capital projects. I don't know. Maybe we probably have some questions on those.
On the $1 million of the well, that's was not spent this year. We're moving it forward into next year. The issue there is identifying property, and I think this last week we have one. I'm waiting to hear back on the property. Along with that, though, comes transmission lines, and I think we have those numbers in place, don't we?
I think we are, we actually have the transmission lines for the following year, I think in 2012.
So they're 2012. And then in the future, we need to look at such things as a reservoir, if we're looking east of town, that's our growth area. Just kind of some food for thought. It will be in our water comprehensive plan that is due to be completed at the end of this month. Item two is the developer book of standards for $2,500. This is actually a project we've been working on for about 5 years. Finally, we have it to a point that the engineers need to review it, just do some tweaks on our work that we've done. So when a developer comes and says, you know, what's your standard we have to go to for anything related to water, it's in this book. Most cities have them. The city of Othello has some, but they're about 30 years out of date. We've been working on updating those, and we would like to complete that next year in 2011. So we would ask that the council appropriate $2,500 for the standards book that will ensure everything in the city is built the same way. Do you want me to just go down the list, Mayor, or do you want me to stop at each one?
What's the council want?
Whole list.
Whole list.
Then we'll decide.
Well, do we want to stop on these three? What do you want to do with them? Do we need to move them over? The $1 million one goes over, correct? Everybody's in for the well?
Yes.
Okay. And the 2,500? We got to have that done.
Yes.
And Larch Street Water Main, is that a replacement?
That's a water main replacement from an old line that is both substandard in material and size. Minimum size now is an 8-inch, and this is, I think it's a 4-inch, but it might be a 6, I can't remember. I know it's smaller than the size that Department of Health put in as requirement 10 years ago. This is to upgrade the large area of water main.
Fund it this year, or you want to wait?
Is that on this side of the high school, or that side, or?
It's this side of the terrace.
It's,
that's it.
1300, down 1300.
Oh.
East of the high school.
Yeah.
13th is way down there. Is there problems right now?
Sometimes we get a call up there because of water pressure a lot, off and on up in that area. It's, I believe it's steel line, and I believe it's 4-inch.
How's the hydrants up in that area? Well, I'm doing the hydrant testing.
They've came out, but some of the residents are iffy on water pressure.
Yeah, but water pressure is all related to the height of the water in the towers, not the water line.
Unless everybody's on it using it. No?
No, it's still height of the water in the towers.
Oh, really?
That is.
That's true.
The only thing that affects water pressure.
So, we want to hold off on that? Okay, let's move on down then, Mike.
Is that 10 or 18? I can't see.
10.
10,000. This is a recommendation that the staff is making. Remember, well, 7 went down this past summer, and it was a circuit board. We brought it in. We showed you at a council meeting. And the conclusion was that fried because of the temperatures in that small room. And the, again, the conclusion was we needed a small air conditioner to that kind of hold the brick, right, Terry?
Yeah, we got a couple ways to go in there.
What was the cost to repair it? I don't remember. Quite a bit? More than that?
Yeah, I'm with Mark. It was
okay.
$10,000.
All right, so that's really a pretty cheap way to guarantee.
$34,000, if I remember right.
$1,000?
So it seems to me that's a pretty cheap way to guarantee not another problem.
Yeah.
Sounds like they want to move it over?
Yeah.
Okay.
They want to forget this electronic world anymore, so you've got to take care of that.
Yeah, things have changed.
The $200,000
for the SR24 industrial area. Again, that's related to the overall project. It may or may not happen next year, unless you know a specific one. Terry, that's not like the sewer one that Mr. McCann was here earlier. That's for the sewer project, but I think that's just related to the total project, if I'm right.
On the SR24?
Yeah. So that's to do $200,000 worth of water lines in the SR24 area in 2011. Again, the engineering is almost done, so we're close.
So is this going to help us with this expense of $500,000 that we have to get the project started?
Yes.
Something like that?
Now, what we could do is not fund it right now, because the water fund is flush in the operating fund and the reserve fund. We cannot budget for it until we come back with the engineering design and talk about specifically what that's for. So maybe that's the way to do this. Just don't put it in the budget right now. We'll just address it in the big picture.
Sounds good. Okay.
The Windsor Street water main replacement, Terry, you're going to have to speak to that.
And I don't think that one should go in. I think you should leave it there, because we looped that water line across into 7th to make that a complete loop right there on the Main Street project.
Okay. Yeah, took care of that one.
Okay. Moving down to seal well number one. There's two reasons to do this. Number one, the state, since we've decommissioned it, they want us to seal it off. We haven't done that for years, and they want us to. The second one is it's actually on private property, and the property owner wants us to seal it before he sells the property, which he's anticipating doing in the next couple of years. So this makes some sense to comply with DOH and seal off well number one. That is over on First Avenue, by the way, by Mr. Burke's business.
The old city fire station.
There's a well in there?
There's a well on the very southern building of it.
It's kind of right next to well 6 then?
Just east of it, yeah. Well,
it's on Broadway Road first, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So moving on?
In the building?
It's in the Parks building.
Yes. Wow. If we don't need this voluntarily, we're going to get a mandate from DOH to get it done.
Was that addressed to any? Well, it'd be too hard to ask now. I was wondering if that was addressed at any time during the sale of the property.
I know Mr. Burke wants to sell it in the near future. He just wants to get it taken care of so it doesn't become a condition of the sale.
We might want to go back on the contract and see when they sold that back in 91, I believe. And just to see if there was a condition at the time with that, they did sell it to Mr. Burke. But if we need to do it, we need to do it.
Okay, we can look that up. But in the meantime, can we move that over to action so we get it done after the first year? Down the $5,000 for the handheld meters, which we do every year. It's now at the point of a rotating amount. For a number of years, we did $50,000 a year. Got the areas on board with that, and now it's primarily replacement meters.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Water line improvements, $60,000. Terry, you can tell me about that one.
We got a few that need to be replaced, but I don't know how much of that $60,000
is going to be. Is this just on the ends around the city?
It's just steel water lines throughout. We've got some up here, the alley north of the pond, between 12th and 13th. It's got to go across to 14th. So I don't know if it's going to use that full 60.
So, and that was a number put in for improvements. We don't know what the actual cost is going to be. So if you would leave something in there so we can start it, and back to you if we see it bigger than what you allow us to spend.
Yes, no?
I'll split it with you.
Okay, move it over, Mike. Because the council get discussed on this anyway, right? If it's going to come before us later.
Yes.
Okay, so it'll come before us.
The 16 is a shared amount between the four entities that Mike has, four funds that Mike has talked about previously. We say a total of 64,000. So this is that one quarter share from the water fund.
I mean, we're pretty committed on that one.
The electronic read meters, 25,000. This is part of the overall project to get electronic read meters installed throughout the city. And I think this is primarily replacement too.
Yeah, we dropped that number down
from 50 to 25.
Yeah.
Yep, go ahead.
It just are we getting confused with the meters and the reader? I'm not quite sure why we have to buy a reader every year. We've been buying a reader every year for, I bet, the last 4 years.
Right. Those are the meters go in the ground, the handhelds are when we drive by and read the meters from.
Right.
Yeah.
We have to replace one every year?
Or no, not every year.
Was that in the budget last year, there, Mike? I swear that keeps showing up every year.
What's happened with what it was last year?
Five for the handheld last year.
Yeah, we budgeted five last year.
How many of those we have, Terry?
Three.
We have to replace one a year? Oh, no. We bought those before. I've seen those in budgets. What's that column? Is that column last year?
Is that money just moving forward then? That's,
I don't know. Can you tell if we spent that money to five, Mike?
What's
this year?
Actual?
We don't show it. It wasn't projected to be spent, and so it's zero for this year.
But it was budgeted $5,000 last year?
Just carrying it forward.
Okay.
In case they're...
Yeah, we just carry it forward.
Okay.
One of the issues is that we found out that we can't even get parts for those. You know, we were talking about that? That if one of them go down, we can't even get parts. We will have to replace it with a new unit. So I think this is in case we have to replace that unit.
Okay,
and now we're going to transfers and... I'm just going to highlight this. This $631,500 is a transfer to water reserves, and that was to keep the balance in this fund at $200,000. So I'll have to reduce this number now to transfer because the council edict was to keep a balance of $200,000 in this fund. So whatever the difference in those is, I'll take the difference out of here and that is the amount of transfer to reserves. So that covers the water fund. Any more questions?
We didn't finish your question with the Lark Street water main. Is that section of street on our street plan to be resurfaced in the future? Because I would like to work those. I would like to work that together. I know we put our overlays on hold for 2011. Maybe we can move that into 2012 along with the overlay.
So what's, okay, there's, net is the 210,000 then, Mike?
Pardon me?
Or the bottom line in our water fund then?
This shows 83,400. So I'll have to take 16,600. Well, more than 116,600 out of this transfer right here. So it would be like minus 1,600.
transfer to the reserve fund is $514,900, and we have the required reserve for this fund for the end of the year.
Right. So you're taking 514 out of the reserve fund?
No, no, I'm putting it into the reserve fund. This, yeah, I will be putting it into the
Okay.
Okay. So now we'll go to the sewer fund.
Leverage some money that we didn't anticipate because of Mr. McCain's partnership. So our contribution is the $81,000. We'd like to keep that in the budget and continue on and continue to update the council on how the project is going, where we get the additional funding, and then with the council's blessing, bid the project. But that's a few months down the road. But we need our matching funds in the budget for next year.
Okay, go ahead, Mike. That's a head shaking yes.
That's a good deal.
These last two items are similar to the water fund. The developer quota standards is the sewer share of that cost. And then the service truck is the remaining $16,000 for that. And I'll do the same thing to this fund that I did in the water fund. The balance in it is at 26,539, and I can't remember. It seems like the required balance in this is about $75,000. So I'll reduce the transfer to the sewer reserve fund by about 50, and then get it all balanced out is what I'll end up doing. So I'll save what we've done there. Solid waste fund. This too is a fund doesn't have a lot. It doesn't change a lot. Operations is the landfill fees and CDSI. We haven't heard anything about any raises. I know the landfill rates haven't changed, and CSI has been holding their rates. We haven't gotten an increase from them. Capital expenditures, one of the things in the red flight column, the question was asked at the committee, should we continue with the alley approach improvements in 2011. So I think that's the question before council right now. And I know the Main Street project, we're doing a lot of alley approaches, I think over $80,000. And
I think we ought to continue. Still got a lot of alleys yet we got to do.
Makes a big difference.
How much?
20? Say about
40,000? Is that what people want to do? Yep. Okay, 40,000, I guess.
Okay. The interfund transfers is the general fund allocation. So that that will leave us with an ending fund balance of about of 39,226. This also has a reserve fund balance, which I showed earlier in the reserve funds. I think it's around $157,000 in reserves. We keep trying to spend this fund down, but we haven't been successful. It's been kind of strange. Yeah. It just seems to hold its own. It's really kind of unusual. Okay. I'll save that. And I'm not going to walk you, I'm not going to bore you and walk you through the debt service funds. And we've been through the reserve funds. So that is pretty much the entire city budget.
Did we miss the water rate and the water fund?
Oh, we did. Yeah, we didn't talk about that. That's true. Because we had taken the workshop about the water rates. Let's see what we got. I put together a spreadsheet. And what I did is, even though the rates only go for 3 years, I put the fourth year in here to give you a picture of what's going to take place. They had 4%, and right down here, we have capital. And we show, like, what we're doing this year. And next year, we're going to have $1.7 million for a water line for the new well. Then we have another new well this would be, 2013. And then we have another water line. We'll have to build for that well as well. Well, with a 4% increase by 2014, we'd be about $425,000 underwater, which means we'd have to maybe make an interfund loan from the sewer fund or do something. So that's kind of a picture, and it isn't in exact detail, but it gives the, I think in general it gives the big items that would be affected. I was going to show. Let's see. I have another spreadsheet here. This gives you a picture of the rates. Right here in this column are the old rates in 2010. In 2011, at a 4% increase, this is what it would look like. The minimum charge would go from $25.41 to $26.51. And the next year will jump up to $27.57 and then to $28.67. And then so on down. And there's different meter sizes and it shows the differences. And I just threw in the Adams County Water District because we're going to be dealing with that here in the near future. At the new rates, the 6-inch meter would be at $8.83 at the in-city rate. So At the water district number one, their 2010 rate is $1,274.42 a month. It would jump to $1,325.39 a month, then to $1,378, and then up to $1,434. So that's a picture of what the rate increase would look like at 4%.
Mike showed you the rates relative to the upcoming need and expenses of the city, but what Mike didn't have access to yet, and we don't either, is the completion of the water comprehensive plan for the city that will be done by the end of this month. I did review it today with Fire Chief, pieces of it, and there are a couple things that we will need to address.
as Councilmember Darrell mentioned earlier, all water pressure is predicated on the height of the town and the reservoirs. There are some things that you can do that will virtually increase the height without adding to the top of it. Telemetry and boost pumps are going to be recommended in this water plan for reservoir number 3. If we have a severe fire, we have to have that capacity by DOH standards, a major fire for the industries. We have to meet certain height requirements that equals pressure throughout the city. We can't build on top of the, well, we could if we want to spend money, but a simpler solution is to add boost pumps to this reservoir. That will in effect add, I think it was 600 feet we came up with today. So a boost pump that we're talking about is $99,000, $100,000. So just another reason why we need to look at a water rate increase for the ensuing years so we stay ahead of these sorts of issues as we grow, as our industries grow. And then just, I told Mayor after lunch today, one of the industries is talking about an $8 million retrofit just for packaging coming up in the near future. And they are growing. They can't stop long enough their production to implement this retrofit in their lines. They're that busy and plan to continue to be that busy. So they've asked that we would continue to support them with our water projects. So in that regard, we need to keep enough revenue and operations and capital to stay ahead of our needs. And as Mike showed you graphically, how we can do that with our rates.
The first slide you showed, go to the next to the bottom there in that list.
The first one?
Yes.
This one here?
Yeah, that shows, no, I'm sorry, the other one that showed the effect of the raise, the increase.
Maybe I already have it.
Because at our workshop, I looked at the increases and said, based on the numbers were being shown here, the numbers don't justify an increase. And now you're showing that in 4 years we're going to be $400,000 in the hole.
I think I can explain that. At that time, in fact, it was after it may have been in that meeting that Ken Kaler mentioned that building a well was one thing, but we needed some way of transporting the water into the city. And we had a plan for that. And then we went to Gray and Osborne and got an estimate of what it would cost to build a 2 mile line. And this $1.7 million is that estimate. Well, it's in here twice. So that's a difference of $3.4 million in the numbers that I had before. That's why I took it out to four years so you could see the impact of that.
Well, I hope we don't have to build two wells 2 miles out each. That'd be kind of sad.
You know, I'd sell my property to the city.
I think if we drill that one well, it'd probably take care of us a little longer, just 2 years. Depends on drills, too.
Depends. My intuitive feeling was 2% a year, and that last tier rate that I talked about moved that right up to 70 cents. Remember, we're on tiers, and I'm trying to encourage water conservation, so
right.
I wanted that last tier to go just up to 70 cents, so when people are hosing down their driveway, they can think they're putting a little more in the city coffers.
Well, tonight we just wanted to show you how things kind of fit, and we'll be developing that for you 2 weeks from now. And we can look at that water consumption percentage for you, Mark, before then.
And I want to crystallize that if with this increases to the citizens 4%, that Simplot, which is the major industrial customer using our water, is just on, they're not on a separate contract now, they're just on the city contract. So their rate would go up 4% also.
Yes, so I believe that was the new contract that we had negotiated with them.
Right, the first 2 or 3 years was makeup, and then they went on.
Right, it was going to bring you up to that place, and then they would get the same increase that everybody else had.
Now 4% to industry out there is way more than 4% to every citizen in this town. Because I still think they're using about 80% of our water.
Yeah.
Which I'm not opposed to. You know, they're getting a good deal with water, and if it goes up 4%, that's so that would lean me more toward the 4%. So I mean the other side of that is we don't want to increase our water that we scare them away. So I don't know, maybe the 2% and lot to ponder there.
We also need to make sure our rates stay in the middle of the Washington pack so that we can get funding. Because if you're at the bottom of the pack, you can't get funding.
How are we water? I know sewer was way low.
The last time I looked, as I said to retreat, if I recall correctly, we're just below center.
Okay.
So but I was going to check that. I've done it.
Not too far out of whack.
Yeah.
That would be nice to know, especially
I'll look at
rate changes.
The other thing is that, as you know, the plants here are not if the at the top of the line being the most profitable plants around. That's why these are not closed. Part of the reason is our water rates. That's what I've been told. By the industries.
Okay.
Not McDonald's coffee shop.
So what I'm hearing then on the 22nd, we want to also discuss conservation rate or costing or whatever you want to call it.
Right. We'll do options
right,
for you just as you saw tonight.
Okay. Are you done, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Great. Any other questions for Mike before we...
The only thing I think we skipped over is when we got to sidewalks. I wanted to do support Ken and his handicap curb down there. I think that's a tourist attraction of the town. So
we'll put that money in now. That'll be reflected next year.
Okay, in the sidewalk budget.
Okay.
And next year when they're finishing up Main Street, maybe they can do it. That's sarcastic.
Okay, unfinished business. Let's move on.
I had to get one in.
Unfinished business. Anybody have any unfinished business?
I don't want to drop the walking path there, so you're probably negotiating, but I...
The drama just continues every week, every day. And as I report, just very briefly, I reported last time Mr. Juarez from the school district called, said that Jay had made a deal with Michael Curry, the project engineer for the school district, is that the southernmost 10 feet of the driveway would have white hash marks, and that would be the walk path. Unacceptable. Understand that. You don't mix people in traffic. Now the new dilemma is that which was not shared with me previously, and I did call George today and talk to him or ask him about it, and I had to leave a message, but unbeknownst to us, the school and the church have been negotiating, and the church was supposed to pave on their side, and the school is going to pave on their side, which the school did. There's to be no curb, which there's a curb line there now, and then that was supposed to be in and out traffic. And the deal that I understand they made, and haven't confirmed it yet, is that in exchange for the school paving, the church paving, the south half, the school district would be allowed to use their parking lot for overflow traffic for school events. Now, that being said, as of today, I understand that curb line, the school district is now going to take out so that there is an in and out driveway on church property and school property, which begs the question, where does that leave our walk path? So it's still cloudy, still up in the air, and I haven't got everybody to sit out at the table so we can talk about this. But it, no matter which way we look at it now, our walk path has disappeared. I don't know where it is. That's the question I'm hearing from council is, where's our walk path?
Have we found out anything from the original agreement?
on the right-of-ways and the easements issue. I had Daryl looking through the paperwork today, and I don't think he finished because he didn't get back to me. He'll be here tomorrow, and I'll find out, hopefully tomorrow. But as of right now, you know what I know, and to me, the walk path has disappeared. But we're going to find that. We're going to find out where it's going to be.
Any other unfinished business? New business?
I just got a quick invitation. On Thursday, 11:30, down in my shop, I am feeding the MRM crew, construction crew, for lunch. And I invite any council members to come down and visit with that crew.
Not the mayor, then? Okay, mayor's announcements. The mayor's luncheon will be held at noon at the Othello Senior Center on Wednesday, November 10th. The menu will be chicken enchiladas, salad, veggies, and a dessert. As we've heard already, ACDC will meet here in Othello on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Thursday 11th is Veterans Day, so City Hall will be closed. And fall cleanup is this Saturday, November 13th, from 8 to 2:30 p.m., vegetation only. And the pickup is on Broadway at Washington Carriers. So, just like it has been in the past. So if you have vegetation, that's the day to do it.
Is there any limit on that, Debbie?
What?
Limit on, can people bring truckload after truckload, or?
If you use a commercial vehicle, even though it's for private use, they won't let you.
Yeah, they refuse.
Ooh. Yeah, we found that out.
Is a church a commercial use?
Nonprofit. It's not commercial.
But don't use a truck that says Evergreen Implement on the side like I did. Even though it was from a house.
They rejected it. You.
Creates issues. So, okay.
Thank you.
All right. Other than that, this meeting's dismissed. It's over.
Adjourned.
Adjourned. There you go. Great job, everybody. Cool.
You forgot the word. It got
so late. Yeah, you're getting tired.